All right, so quench not in every circumstance, every event. Here's a verse that tells you he doesn't. Here's a verse that tells you you have and I have a responsibility. And sometimes you and I can put a wet blanket over what God's doing. And he will be hindered in the work that he's doing. You say, well, God's all powerful, God's all... Yeah, but he gives you and I responsibilities. And he allows you and I to make decisions. And so quench not the spirit means you and I are capable of really, for lack of a better way of saying it, getting in the way of what God's doing. And so I read a verse like that. And it sounds good, you know, quench not the spirit. Yeah, let's do that. Let's not quench the spirit. And but what does that mean? And so I ask that because I'm going to show you today. I'm going to show you this morning. What is it that God's doing that you and I have an effect on that can either help us or hurt us, or help other people or hurt other people? In the way of what the work of the Spirit of God's doing. For instance, fire can be a good thing or a bad thing. I'd say quench because I think about quenching a fire or putting out a fire, extinguishing a fire. You know, fire can be good if you're going to use it to cook with. But fire can be bad if it starts in your bedroom and, you know, goes out of control. The point of that is saying this. If I start a fire to cook with, you know, you get the pit going and all that stuff. You get the pit ready, put the coal in. I mean, you get the lighter, all that stuff. You get it all going, and you're getting ready to barbecue. And somebody comes in and throws water on your fire. They're not helping the situation. They're making it worse. And so in the same way, if the Holy Spirit's trying to do something, and then you and I come in and throw a pail of water over it, and we think we're helping the situation, when in actuality, we're just putting the fire out and eliminating what God's actually trying to do. So that being said, this is, like I said, one of those verses that tells you and I, God has limited his work, and he has given over choices to you and I so that we make decisions that affect how he works. All right? Quench not the spirit. First thing, what in the world is the Holy Spirit doing that you and I can quench? I'll put it out there. I'll let you guys, you know, y'all can respond a little bit. What is the Holy Spirit? What's one of the things he does? Y'all know, can y'all answer some of that? What is one of the things he does? Comforter. He's a comforter. And that's actually point number one right there. So one of the things the Holy Spirit does is he's a comforter. So he comes in and you need comfort whenever you're not doing good. You don't need comfort when everything's going all right. You need comfort when you're down, when you feel like you've been mistreated. That's when the comforter shows up. When the Lord Jesus Christ explained that part of the work of the Holy Spirit of God, he was headed to a cross. He was telling the disciples, I'm going to send you a comforter. And he's trying to help the disciples through a low point, at least in their minds, a low point in their relationship with God. They think what's going on is a tragedy, destruction of the work of God. It is a valley. It is a trouble, and all that's true, except God was using it for other purposes. But he said, if he go not away, the comforter will not come, and the comforter shows up to help. So one of the first works, or one of the works of the Holy Spirit of God, is in a comforting sense, at a comforter. So if you're going to quench the Holy Spirit of God, one of the things you and I would do to quench that work of the Holy Spirit is to find comfort in something else. So instead of letting the Holy Spirit minister, instead of letting the Holy Spirit be a blessing, instead of maybe I don't know, good music, good reading the Bible, being around Christian folks, I mean, just allowing the Holy Spirit to be a comforter, we find ourselves looking for comfort somewhere else. And here's the practical form that takes. Temptation in your life and in my life often is in the form of a comfort. It shows up as a pleasure that will minister to you. Okay, if I get this, if my flesh gets this, it will be a comfort to me. It will help me. It will relax me. It will calm things down. And so what we do is we don't find comfort in the comforter. We find another source of comfort. Does that make sense? I mean, we go somewhere where God said, okay, you're not going to find, you may find temporary pleasure in this, but we replace the work of the comforter with something else. And that's what temptation, oftentimes amounts to. Just finding comfort in another source that's not the Holy Spirit of God. So when the Lord says, quench not the Holy Spirit of God, quench not the Spirit of God, that's one way we quench the Spirit of God, is by looking for comfort in a place that's not where the Comforter is. So we go find something. I mean, usually it's generally, it has to do with maybe things we've done in the flesh before we got saved, or, I mean, just stuff we're familiar with. And the stuff that we're familiar with makes us calm down. It brings the blood pressure down a little bit. It at least satisfies temporarily the flesh, not forever, obviously, but for a period of time. And the point is, you go back to that spot, you go back to that high, drugs, you go back to that high, just trying to find that fix, and you're trying to find comfort in a source where God said, that's not where my comforter is. I'm not working there. So the first thing, and Christians do this, God said, I'm going to send you a comforter. But we say, well, I don't want your comforter. Let me go find comfort over here. And so we quench the work of the Holy Spirit. How about this as far as the work of the Comforter? The Comforter is there to help you when you feel mistreated or the perception of injustice. Here's the point of that. All right, so okay, you'll live through this. It'll be okay. And you need someone, some helping hand there, some comforting hand there. You need some help there. But the alternative is this: when we're offended, when we take on that bitterness, and we neglect the comforter, we neglect what he's trying to do. Put it this way: when you and I are thin-skinned as Christians, we have quenched the Spirit of God. When we are thin-skinned as Christians, we've quenched the Spirit of God. Why? Because we're not finding comfort in the comforter. We're taking on the bitterness, we're taking on the anger, we're taking all that inside, and we're saying, no, I don't want to be comforted, let me hold on to this injustice, let me relish this injustice, let me wallow in this thing, and it will be my excuse for whatever else I want to do, whatever sin I want to participate in. So we quench the Spirit of God in His work, put it this way, in His work in grace as a comforter. So God's Holy Spirit's trying to comfort us, and we go in there and we put the fire out. We put the wet blanket on it. We say, no, I'm not interested in that comfort. I'm going to be thin-skinned. I'm going to be bitter about this. It's going to hurt my feelings, and I'm going to let it hurt my feelings, and I'm going to dwell on that, and I'm going to make decisions based on that, and I'm going to think about that, and I'm going to be mad about that, instead of being comforted. And that's the time you need comfort. Like I said, you don't need comfort on the mountaintop. It is the Spirit's work as a comforter. Don't quench the Spirit's work as a comforter. Don't go find comfort somewhere else, and be careful about getting too thin-skinned. Meaning you're not comforted, you'd rather hang on to the bitterness. Quench not the Spirit. He's trying to comfort you. He's trying to be a comfort to you. But we can quench him in that. Second thing, another thing the Holy Spirit is doing, and I'm going to show you in John chapter 16. You guys look at this verse, because it shows you the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And if you know what he's doing, then you know not to throw a wet blanket over what he's doing. John chapter 16 and verse 7. John 16, 7 says this. And this speaks of the Holy Spirit's work toward the guilty. It says, John 16, 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." All right, so another work of the Holy Spirit of God is his work towards the world. So he works through Christians, and he's trying to convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. All right, so how do you quench the Spirit there? Well, you don't participate in his work there. You don't participate in his work of convincing the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I've been thinking about this a while now. One of the ways I talk to people for a long time, you go to a door, or you're just talking to somebody, you say, you know, the question, are you 100% sure if you died right now that you'd go to heaven? You guys know that question, okay? Here's my recent thinking about that question. That makes people think. I understand you're trying to figure out if they're saved or not. But it makes folks think that Christianity is good only when you die. And you just go on sinning all you want to sin, but if you know where you're going when you die, that's the main thing. Whereas you just read here in John 16, 8, the main work of the Holy Spirit of God is to convince people of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You understand? You have to deal, and I have to deal with sin. The question, I don't see the question, and I'm making an illustration of this, but I don't ever see the question in the Bible, hey, do you want to go to heaven when you die? I don't see that question in the Bible. I see John the Baptist, I see the apostles, and they preach against idolatry, and they preach against sin. And I don't ever see him ask the question, do you want to go to heaven when you die? And I'm not saying that's a wrong thing to do necessarily. I'm just saying I don't see it in the Bible. And when I read about the work of the Holy Spirit of God, he's trying to get people to understand the work of God in their lives right now with their sin. Not when they die. But right now, when they die, that may be, there's an assurance of salvation there. I understand that. But you never get to salvation if you never deal with sin. You never get to salvation if you never deal with righteousness. Hey, you want to go to heaven when you die? Sure, I want to go to heaven. All right, we'll pray this prayer, say, Jesus, save me. Okay, Jesus, save me. All right, good, you're saved. Congratulations, let's get you baptized. You haven't dealt with, I mean, it's just Jesus on top of their lives. Sure, I want to go to heaven. That sounds great. What are you being saved from? Not do you want to go to heaven, but we got to deal with the sin in the flesh. We got to deal with all these things that have come between you and God. I'm trying to make a point that sometimes we become, I don't know, we get this Christian lingo that's not Bible lingo. And we forget what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. And so we have a program, we have a programmed response that says, okay, this is the program, let's run it according to the program. And we do it so often, we don't look back and say, okay, what is the Holy Spirit actually trying to do here? I've got to deal with sin. We can't jump to you go to heaven without dealing with sin. We can't jump to eternal life without dealing with righteousness. We can't jump to eternal security and you can have a safe home in heaven when you die without ever dealing with judgment. We can't just jump there and say, okay, just pray this prayer and you go to heaven. And all of these things you just read in John 16, after he says the Comforter, he says now he's trying to deal with the world according to their sin, according to righteousness, and according to judgment. But just saying, sometimes we need to rethink with guilty souls about something. And the thing he's trying to work with guilty souls about is sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's not trying to work with them about whether they have a home in heaven yet or not. He's trying to get to the point of what has come between them and God. What idol? Is it a beer bottle? Is it something on the TV? What is it? What idol has shown up between you and God? Because we've got to knock down that idol if we want to bring you and the Lord together. We got to deal with that sin. His work towards the guilty. So the Holy Spirit's trying to deal with that, with guilty, with the world. Reprove the world, the Bible says, of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. All of those things. I mention that because that's the work of the Holy Spirit of God, and sometimes we quench that work by getting ahead of what he's doing. Hey, do you want to go to heaven when you die? Of course I want to go to heaven. Well, you've bypassed everything that he's trying to do with them now. You've ignored all these pieces where he said, I'm trying to deal with them about their sin, and you're trying to get them into heaven before you deal with them about their sin. They can't get into heaven without dealing with sin, righteousness, and judgment. His work towards the guilty. His work towards the guilty, all right? So his work as a comforter. You can quench his work as a comforter. You can what? His work as a guide. John 16, 13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So one of the works of the Holy Spirit, not only comforter, not only his work in grace as a comforter, not only his work with the guilty, but his work as a guide. His work as a guide. So he's trying to, the work of God's Holy Spirit as a Christian, he's trying to show you more and more truth. All right, that's what he's trying to do. He's working in you to show you more and more truth. How do you quench that? You don't listen to him when he wants to show you truth. This is sometimes what we do with our lives, I think. We make decisions, and you've probably heard it before. we make decisions without ever asking for guidance from the Holy Spirit of God. And we make decisions and then we ask God to retroactively bless the decision we made. All right, Lord, I'm going to take a step here, and then we look back and, well, Lord, bless this thing I've gotten into now. Bless this whole thing, you know, this endeavor I'm putting myself, I've already put myself into it. I just need now you to come in and bless this thing. Instead of allowing him to guide us, what's the next step here? What's the next big decision? What's the next small decision? Where do I go here? Should I move my family here? Should I do this? Should I take this job? Should I, just the decisions we make that are, I don't know, sometimes regardless we make decisions whether God cares or not about these things. And you have a guide, the Holy Spirit of God, who's trying to guide you into truth. And we don't want to listen, we don't care about what he says, but that's one of the things he's trying to do. He's trying to guide into truth. There's a lot of things we can say about that, but his work as a guide about Jesus Christ, we'll talk about it tonight, but the more you know about Jesus Christ, the more you'll trust Jesus Christ. We don't trust Jesus Christ because we don't know him. You and I didn't trust Jesus Christ as Savior until you knew him as a Savior. Then you trusted him as a Savior. That's the idea. His work is a guide, trying to show us who Jesus Christ is and reveal more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ to us so we can trust him more. Another thing the Holy Spirit's trying to do, he's trying to bear fruit in your life. If you're saved, he's trying to bear fruit in your life. He's trying to make some things grow that need to grow that are reminiscent, that are part of his life, part of God's life, the fruit of the Spirit. So his work as a gardener, I'll read this to you. You got Galatians chapter 5. You guys have probably read this one. But you got Galatians 5, where he talks about all the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Galatians 5:22, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's work, one of his works that you and I can quench is his work as a gardener. This is how you and I can quench that one. The old man in you, the old man likes to trample the garden that the Holy Spirit's trying to produce. He'd go through there and trample that thing, walk all over it, destroy it. And there are, like he said, the spiritual walk produces fruit. A carnal walk, it just produces folly, destroys it. Fruit is destroyed by the old man. Fruit is destroyed by pride. It's destroyed by provocation. One of the things the Holy Spirit's trying to do is produce fruit. And that takes time. Garden I've told you about. It's actually working out pretty good. We've got strawberries. Where's Sam? There he is. What else we got? Okra, tomatoes, peppers, watermelon, cantaloupe, squash, eggplant. Point is, we're trying to produce fruit. Gary is really trying to produce fruit. I don't know if you guys have seen Gary's garden. Rhonda showed me a picture of Gary's garden. Gary doesn't have a garden. He has a farm. He has like an acre of land that he's plowed up. He's got rows and rows of stuff. So here in a couple months, the whole church will be fed by Gary's garden. You're trying to produce fruit. That's what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. His work is a gardener, and it takes some time to do that. It's got to be watered. It's got to be nourished. You got to get the weeds out. You got to make sure the birds don't eat the strawberries. You got to Pay attention to that stuff. And what the old man does, what the flesh does, or what the devil does, is he's always trying to destroy that garden. He's trying to make sure of the Holy Spirit of God and producing fruit by living according to the flesh, siding with the devil and things. I mean, I know we don't think we side with the devil. I know we don't think, but how many times, going back to that question, how many times do we ask God's advice, or how many times do we heed God's advice? Or when we know what God's advice is, we do something else and then say, well, you know, it'll be okay. You know, if God says do something, and we say, well, you don't understand my situation. We talked about that in Sunday school. You know what you've done? You've sided with the devil. Because God said, here's plain instruction. I want to bear fruit in your life. Here's some instruction on how to help. Here's some instruction in righteousness. And then the old man shows up and he says, well, yeah, but you don't know about this. And we destroy the fruit that's trying to be produced. The Holy Spirit's work as a gardener, trying to produce fruit. And then lastly is this, the Holy Spirit's work as a gift giver. You read about in 1 Corinthians the gifts of the Spirit of God. So if you're saved, like we said before, you have something that ministers, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. He's gifted you to minister to the congregation. He's gifted you in some way to minister to people. God's gifts given to benefit the body. And like, you know, gifts are not ends in themselves. Some folks think gifts are ends in themselves. Example. People talk about tongues. All right, if you believe that tongues, speaking in tongues, is babbling. Okay, I'm not trying to be rude about it. I'm not trying to be mean about it. But if you believe it's babbling, you believe that gift is an end in itself. I mean, it doesn't benefit anyone else. It's only for you. The Bible says there's no such thing as a gift that just benefits you. The gifts are for the congregation. So they're useful among the congregation. And the Holy Spirit's trying to work out a gift in you that can be a help to a congregation. Paul tells Timothy, don't neglect the gift that's in you. All right, you can quench the work of the Spirit when you neglect the gift God's given you. When the thing sits on the shelf, when you don't take care of it the way you're supposed to take care. I mean, anything that gets neglected, it just rots. It rusts. It becomes useless. It becomes harder to use in the future. Paul tells Timothy, don't neglect the gift that's in you. He was a pastor. Gifts need to be exercised. In 2 Timothy, he says, exercise your gift. But when you don't do that, you don't exercise the gift, you neglect the gift that's in you, you quench the work of God and His Spirit as a gift giver. He's trying to work through you as a gift giver. So, those things... I'm going to wrap it up with this. Those are 5 areas. 5 areas that the Holy Spirit of God works in. He's a comforter. He works in the area of grace. He works with the guilty, the world. He works as a guide to help you understand the next step, to help you understand more of Jesus Christ. He helps you as a gardener, the fruit of the Spirit. And then He helps you as a gift giver. And in each of those categories, comforter, guilty, a guide, a gardener, gift giver, in each of those areas, we are able to quench the Spirit of God in those things. You're able to find comfort somewhere else. You're able to neglect the gift He's given you. You're able to close your mouth when we need to talk about sin. We're able to trample out the garden that He's trying to produce in your life. All of those things say this about the Holy Spirit of God. and the way God works. God has limited his work to your yielding to his Spirit. He's limited his work to your prayers. He's limited his work to his promises. I mean, obviously, he's got some promises that he's going to do. But then he's limited his work to the yielding of his people. And so when Paul says, quench not the Spirit, that means you and I individually are capable of putting a wet blanket over the work of God when he's trying to do something. And you and I don't have the excuse that, well, God is always in control and God making this thing happen and God makes that happen. No. He said, quench not the Spirit, because it's possible for you and I to quench the Spirit. It's possible for him to try to do something in your life and in my life, and we say, no, I'm not interested in you doing that. I'm not interested in that work. I'm not interested in going there. I'm not interested in doing that. So Paul says, and the Holy Spirit through Paul says, quench not the Spirit. Let him do what he's trying to do. Don't get in the way of it. And it's not just, well, it's just God's will. Well, it just, you know, this just happened and it was just God's will. No. Sometimes you made a decision or I made a decision, and that's why we're in the place we're in. It wasn't just God's will. We just quench the Spirit of God, and we quench the Spirit of God, and we quench the Spirit of God until we're in a cold and a dark place. And we wonder, why was it so cold? Why is it so dark here? Well, we put the fire out a long time ago. We've made decisions that have put effectively put out the work of God in our lives, and now wonder, how did this happen? Well, just God's will. Be careful about saying that. Because you and I have a responsibility, and when he says stuff like this, when he gives instruction because we need to hear it, and because it's against our nature to do what he's saying. It's easier for you and I to put out the work of God. It's easier for you and I to quench the Spirit of God. I told you to wrap it up. I'll say this last thing. The devil, put it this way. I heard somebody say this, probably Bob Jones Sr. I think he's the one that said this. The devil has an advantage in this world over God. The world, the flesh, the devil, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. There are more things going against the work of God than there are for the work of God. That's why Jesus Christ says, broad is the way that leads to destruction. The devil has more things going in his favor in this world than God does. Narrow. Is the road. You and I have got to be very vigilant about that. Don't quench the Spirit. When he's trying to do something, comfort, guide, help, bear fruit, all that stuff, be vigilant. Let him work. Let him do what he's trying to do. As Sam comes and plays a little bit, I hope that's helpful to you. It's a very simple, I guess, in